Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
I've been doing our series on millennial dentists. And today we have Dr. Payman Raisi. Am I saying that correct, Payman?
Yes, Raisi. Yeah, absolutely. Raisi.
Like Raisi. Like Raisi. A Raisi person.
Like no, a Raisi, good. Yeah. Yep.
It's weird. It's really weird talking to you by Skype when I was just sitting in your office not even 12 hours ago.
I know. It's a long time.
I don't know why we just didn't record live yesterday.
We should have. It turned out, we went out and we drank and we had dinner and we were just heavy. And you had to leave at 10 to get to your plane. So at least I'm glad we're doing it now. Got a chance to do this.
Yeah, so I was in Nashville yesterday and Payman's office is there in a trendy upstart part of Nashville. So let's talk a little bit. I know we both have limited time today, so let's get right to it. So Payman, when you graduated 2014?
Yes, sure. So I got out 2014 from the University of Tennessee Health Science Center in Memphis.
And then you were working for a corporate dental office for how long?
Correct. So I got out of school and I started working in a corporate affordable dentures for right after graduation. Honestly, before graduation, I had no idea that I'm going to stay in Nashville. However, I knew it's going to be one of the corporates. And my thought process or why did I choose to corporate was because we did all these lunch and learns through dental school. And I didn't have any specific dentist or anybody that I shadowed to go work for them. So I always knew that I'm going to be ending up in corporate for a couple of years to understand the system, get my hands wet and start building my own to have my own office. So I started working right out of school at Affordable Dentures and the rest is history, really.
And you worked for them for about 2.5 years?
Yeah, so I worked for them. I came into corporate dentistry. My aunt actually needed dentures, and I keep telling the same story. So she needed dentures. So I was like, well, she asked me to come with her. Friday, I graduated. On Monday, she had an appointment with Affordable Dentures in Nashville. So I go from Memphis to Nashville, and she's like, can you come with me Monday for my appointment? So I go in just to see how they're adjusting her denture. And they asked me they're like, oh, you're a dentist. And rest is really, I started working 3 days later as an assistant before I got my diploma. And June, I remember as soon as I started working, the practice owner at the time, he got, unfortunately diagnosed with cancer, multiple myeloma, and he had to step out and, the responsibility incredibly, it was huge how quickly right out of school I had to take over a $2.3 million office and there were a ton of implants and dentures, and that is pretty much how I started working out of school.
Okay. And out of school, were you very surgically inclined when you were in dental school?
And like I was telling you, like at the University of Tennessee, I'm very fortunate that I went there. As far as surgery and the oral surgery department, I'm very, very happy and grateful for what I learned. I felt like when I got out, I was very competent, and I felt very confident doing a lot of these surgery, full mouth extraction and tori removal, wisdom teeth, and so on. So surgery was always fun. I had an opportunity to shadow and work for an oral surgeon before in dental when I was in high school and college. And I just the fact that I didn't want to really go through six more years of a school, I chose dentistry because I wanted to be a GP at the end of the day. I just didn't really want to do surgery per se, just do that. I love the pros. I love the general dentistry aspect of dentistry. So that's how I didn't really go to, I'm not interested to go surgery in residency.
Okay. And then, so when you got to affordable, they one of the benefits of corporate dentistry is that they do, generally speaking, provide you learning opportunities and education. So you were able to take a lot of that education. So, you know, one of the things I hear oftentimes from when I work with DSOs is that they have a hard time getting many of their younger dentists to actually participate and take a lot of the CE that they offer. What made you want to take the CE, and what would you tell those that are not taking the CE that's included in their employment?
So, yeah, that's one of the things, and you hit it right on the nail. Where the best part about the corporate dentistry of Phil is the advantages and resources that they have, and that comes with the political volume of the number of offices they have and control and share. So the continuing education, really, to me, I always wanted to be the best dentist out there. Like, if I wanted to make a name for myself and have something strong going, where if I'm going to do something, either do it and be the best at it, or don't do it and just not even attempt. So when I started doing the implant world, like seeing that whole abutment and the denture and overdenture and things like that, it touched me in a way that I was like, oh my God, I don't know anything. How do I start? And part of it was me on Amazon getting the Carl Mischer's textbook and doing it at home, studying it. So like tomorrow, I know what abutment and non-hex mean and what's hex abutment. So like things like that. However, the DSO model, they had all these opportunities for me to go for free. Well, we say free, but they really charge the practice half, and I was able to go to all these CEs. I almost acquired right now about over 950 hours since 2014, going from part of it was paid with the affordable care, and part of it was me wanting to do, for example, my IV sedation. I wanted to do my, like I was talking to you about, soft tissue stuff. I mean, I cannot stress enough. I get people and my classmates, a few years older or my age, and class behind me or after me, they ask me, where do they start? And I'm like, you got to take CEs, and you got to start going out there and hustling and finding out. I mean, the more you go and the more you see people, like as far as the first course I went to, I remember in Vegas, and Dr. Julian in Implant Direct, Cybron, where we went to, actually got a tour. And that was also another thing where I was like, my God, this is fun. Like, he became my first mentor. And having the mentorship and the role of these older dentists that always told me, like, this is what you got to do. So it wasn't just the DSO, was also part of it was the mentorship that I got from going to CEs and the networking that I was able to create with the people in the CE. So it's not really just the CE that I went to. It was the communication with the people and keeping in touch with a lot of these great experts.
So what do you think holds people back from being able to do this? Why are they not?
With the CE world, I honestly don't know if all the corporates are doing as much as what Affordable did for me, because I was going to all of these CEs and they were sending me to come back and report, meaning James Perry, the CFO at the time, he had a great a trust in me, sending me to a lot of these courses. And I come back and I tell him, this is what I feel about this course. This is what I think we should do for all our dentists and get them to go send this and go to Mexico, for example, do all that stuff. So I'm not sure if other corporates, when you say that, is that part of their package deal where everybody's getting really that chance of going to do these the things. But the other thing I would say, if it's holding them back, would be definitely money coming out of school with the student loan. However, to me, that was nonsense. I don't even think of it, student loan. If I had to think of it every day, I would not be the dentist that I am today if I had to worry about the financial.
I'm glad you said that. I think that's an important part. I look at student loans as a cost of doing business. It's a business loan to me because you can't do what you're doing without it.
Exactly. And it, to me, it's exactly, it's like you go to a fancy restaurant, you have to tip very well. You can't just go to a restaurant and be like, I'm not going to tip. It's part of that tipping is to me the privilege that we are dentists. We gotta have that, that education, and the education is not free, yet you earn it. At the same time, I feel like if you calculate the student loans in a way that, for example, when I got out, I had not as much as average. I mean, 283. I don't know what's average, but I had 283, which is still 283. I just keep
a lot of money.
So, yeah, it's a lot of money. However, I was thinking of why not go to the CE. So to me, the CE, I didn't really think of the cost of tuition, even though, like I said, half of it was paid with affordable. Half of it was honestly me paying. Like I'm again going to COIST here. I paid $10,000, but that $10,000, when I come back, I look at it as how many cases and how confident I'm going to be as a dentist to be able to provide and open my horizon of dentistry. Like, well, I could do more cases and be able to. So that money from the CE, because a lot of people say, oh, that CE is expensive. To me, it turns out very soon, very quickly, you can make that money on a case or two. Now you don't have to do full arch. Start with just single unit implants or some of these veneer cosmetic. Like, I wish I had time to go, honestly, to some of these cosmetic veneer case courses where you learn how to do these. That's part of, like, I have not really done anything. But
okay. And so, all right. So now you've taken a lot of CE. You're learning to do implants. How many implants would you say you had placed at affordable?
At affordable, honestly, I got to see 750, 800 probably there. And then a couple, I'm over 1,050 right now, 1,050 something over in total. I have an Excel sheet, and that's one of the things. As soon as I got out, I started doing my first implant. I made an Excel sheet with every patient name, last name, the number of implants. Was it immediate? Was it bone graft? Was it sinus lift? And I made it in a way that everything is documented for me to where I look back 10 years from now and look at it and see how many, for example, number fours I've done, how many immediates have I done. And then I look at my failure rate to where this implant came out. So I keep a good inventory of all my patients as far as what I've placed the implant.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I don't even do anything like that.
Wow. It was just a It was just somebody suggested that to me. A tip was somebody who did that, and I was like, my God, this is awesome, because it was funny because this guy was giving a report. He made these graphs of like, okay, well, if I'm bad or my failure rate is high on my immediate, on this, for example, okay, so I'm not going to do them or rethink of what I'm doing. So it's very good because it's making me now a lot more cautious.
All right, so now let's move to the next step, okay? So you decided, I can already tell your personality is that you believe that and you want to own your own practice. So how hard was that decision for you?
It was the way that this turned out from the corporate. I wanted to, the corporate, they saw the model. So anyways, when I started working, I told you we had $2.3 million production. With me coming in and the owner wasn't able to work for 8-9 months of the whole 2015. In 2015, me with the help of a great financial coordinator, Melinda Lundin, that I want to shout out to her. She's the reason that I do what I do. And she and me, we were able to do $3,975,000 from, so we went from 2.3 to almost 4 million the year that the practice owner was not present. So when the opportunity came along where I wanted to become part of the corporate, meaning be an owner, because I saw it's an advantage to have the lab to do what I do and I take care of my thing, and they're doing all the financial stuff. So I was going to be an owner. However, after 8-9 months of negotiations, it didn't. The practice owner changed their mind, and I didn't end up buying it. So that's when I was like, well, I'm not going to move away from Nashville, and I love. Like you said, I ultimately always wanted to build my own. So that's when, as soon as the negotiations didn't work out, I was like, I'm going to start looking. And that's when I started looking. I honestly did not know the amount of work that it took to build an office till I'm like at this point right now. I keep seeing it more and more, but I didn't know what decision I made till I actually got into it. And that's where I realized, oh, wow.
So let's be more specific about that. What do you think has been the biggest eye-opening for you that you didn't expect? Did you think it was going to be easy just to open your practice?
I thought it would be everything. I honestly didn't think it's going to be this much work, meaning you are being the contract. Like, you have to be on top of everything. See, my thing is, if I had coming from a very rich family or if I had help, it would probably not be as bad if you had the money. My thing was, I was very limited. I got $550,000 from Bank of America, and I was able to save about $100-$150 myself from the working, the corporate, just saving up, not doing really anything other than CEs and just saving the rest of them. And when I saw the building, like, first of all, buying the building or any land, that was out of question, because in Nashville, you can't really, it would have been at least $1 million or $2 million worth of investment. So that was out of question. So it was something like a rental. Now, renting in Nashville right now with the, like you said, the trendy market, everything was just so high. When I started looking at the numbers before I started building, was like, that's when I started really panicking about the money. Like, am I going to have enough to end up actually building this place and working with having any capital for investment or marketing? And that was the most challenging part, the thought process, where I was like, am I going to even have enough to finish this project that I'm going to start?
Well, obviously, you finished the project, and it's a beautiful office. It's
thank you.
You know, all of those things. But now let's focus on the differences. Did you feel that... did you think that you would just be able to open and suddenly do $2-3 million right away? Was that your expectation?
No, not at all. I was, I'm always optimistic, like, meaning I thought it would be, I keep thinking it's going to be a lot better next month. It's going to be better next month. It's going to be, or next year is going to be. But as far as a part of the building and the build out was not necessarily beforehand or while it was being built, but when, as soon as you open the doors, one of the things that eye-opening moments and I've gone through is I would have spent more time hiring my people on the team a few months in advance, knowing exactly who is going to be with me, instead of when I opened, about 2-3 weeks before I opened, I started interviewing. And that was having what I'm trying to get at is the team, because it's very difficult to do it all yourself, trying to decorate and doing all of that work and saving the money. But on the chairs, like you saw my chairs, I made trips to Miami, Florida a couple of times just to be able to save money on my cabinetry, custom cabinetry and chair, because I saw the Henry Schein bill and Patterson bill and Nashville Dental. I was like, there is no way I'll be able to have that, the building that I have, if I had gone to ADEC and for other people, because it would have just been a double almost of my money being spent on the chairs and stuff. So a lot of pressure and the team parts. Like I said, there's just so many things that was difficult about it that I didn't know till I actually got my foot in the door and seeing the whole system and how this works.
Okay. And what do you think has been the hardest part of you opening your practice? I mean, what has been the biggest change and the most difficult part of owning your own business for you?
Right now, I'm very blessed to have the team. The first 2-3 months was the most challenging part, was really the, having a stable team. I'm very big on quality and patient care and comfort and convenience. Like, as you saw the office, like I want to make that impression of very a home and house welcoming. And I have a lot of expectations from the people that work for me and work with me as a team. That was the hardest part, because I could not be constantly on top of it. I don't like to micromanage. However, you almost become a micromanager whether or not you like it, if you want to give that quality. So it was just that was honestly part of, because I don't like confrontation. And that was just the part where I went through like 6 or 7 assistants the first 2-3 months, because I was like, this is
in
not
2 months. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, this is crazy. Some of it was it was like, no, I'm done. And some of it, they were just like, oh, he's crazy. You got to get out of here. So, but that's the thing I would say that was the challenging part of it. The other part, I would say, I'm big on marketing. So I am constantly in talk with my marketing people, getting them in touch, like making sure that my website is top notch. My marketing, my message, my branding is all online, very consistent. So I guess being on top of your game is always, I mean, you want to be good and you want to be having a good name for yourself. So everything kind of adds up to that pressure of running a whole business. So that was, it's completely different than the corporate world, because I had nothing. All I had to do, just walk in. Melinda had sold the case. I would go in and do the full mouth case, come out and go have my dinner. No problem. And that's the difference, where now every single case, I have to actually talk down to, like, I sit down with patients, like I showed you in the consultation room. I start talking money with them. I don't see any problems with me bringing up if they're going to, I don't have problem presenting some of the money financial. However, I have Jennifer right now, my front and my office coordinator. She does most of the financing with the patient.
And was that different? I mean, how much of what you learned from Affordable did you bring with you?
The education. I was so focused on the education part of it the first 2 years, 2.5 years, that I honestly didn't get a chance of learning that whole model of the production. Like I was even telling you yesterday, like what's average, what's not average, what's normal marketing budget, what is, I had no idea those numbers. And I have some good friends of mine who are working at corporate, and I want to mention to them, like they do a great job of taking advantage of those resources to see how Aspen works, to see how Heartland does it, to see these DSO models and that business, because I feel like I'm so behind on that aspect of it, because I spent too much on focusing on the CEs and education of it, that I didn't get a chance to learn the business. So this is something that I'm learning right now. I got on QuickBooks, start learning, bought some Amazon books on dentistry, business of dentistry. So some of that stuff that you wanted, I don't know how much Affordable or other corporates are willing to teach you that part, but I was not really focused on that at that point.
And you should have been, you're saying?
I feel like I should have been more balanced, meaning education. If I knew I'm going to have my own office, I would have been more prepared, knowing these numbers ahead of time to where when I open. I know right now I'm just kind of like looking at it, and then at the end of the month, I'm like, I feel like lucky that I did what I did in the past few months, but it would have been very, very stressful if it hadn't come through and I didn't have the patience and the reputations that these people are coming to see me right now. That would have been a very, very challenging.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Okay. And then, okay, what type of practice ultimately are you trying to build? I mean, are you trying to recreate the affordable model?
My goal was having a hybrid between an affordable model and a clear choice model in under same roof, meaning have a lab, offer locators, offer nice removable, because that locator does amazing things for patients that I've touched and worked on. And so I don't want to strictly do fixed, like clear choice. At the same time, I don't want to do strictly removable and over dentures and just denture practice. So my ultimate goal back then, 2 years ago, when I was in the affordable, I was like, I wanted to build a hybrid of these two type models where I could see the rich and do the fixed and $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. At the same time, I am willing to do a same day denture and do for the cost and then encourage that patient that comes in. Because that is where the opportunity, first opportunity for me to tell them about locator, tell them about there is an opportunity where you can get an implant supported over denture or implant retained, where it's going to help you. So the emotional part of helping and doing that part, it's very rewarding. So that was my ultimately what I wanted to do. When I started building and looking at the numbers, you need so much money for investing on the lab and things like that. So where I just kind of built it, like you see, spacious enough to where I could do that eventually. But I do like to have the hygiene as well. So this part of me says that once you do the cases, what are you going to do with them? How are you going to maintain them? How are you going to take care of them? So eventually, I'd love to have an associate to help me do the general and cosmetic dentistry, so I can focus more on the full mouth and extraction, then denture and the fixed work.
You know, we were talking about this last night. I'd like to have relive that conversation a little bit because I've thought about it. One of the things that you were telling me was that right now, 90% of your patients that you're seeing are coming in for implant work. But you have this desire to build a general practice, and my initial gut reaction to you was that you're nuts. Why would you mess with something that's working? Because the implant side of the practice is going to be definitely more profitable and more rewarding than a general practice. In fact, it'll, you know, the implant side of your practice won't require having, you know, all the number of team members that you'll need for a traditional general practice.
Part of it, like we said yesterday, is mentioned, it was the when I was at affordable, it was the lack of having that general dentistry per se, like where I have the rooms, where I have enough space, where I wanted to do hygiene, I wanted to do it, I could do it. So when I built this office space, and I wanted to have definitely 8 operatories in a 2,800 square feet, like I wanted to have that general dentistry part because I didn't have it. Then when I opened, all my marketing budget, now you said that why, and I mean 90% of what I do is implants right now, is because before I open, or even right now, everything that I market is through implants. I have not said anything about I'm a general dentist or cosmetic dentist here, and that it's mostly everything that is being marketed to implants. So with that being said, I'm thinking in my back of my head, if I touch that general dentistry, because I do see a great potential in this location where I am, and I'm paying these big bucks renting, why not have that, or at least try to bring in a general dentist to where we can promote that side of it. You, as you saw, have six operatories where they could do their own thing, then ultimately give it to them where they be an partner, where I don't have to worry about their staff and their team because my team is already going to do the implants and I already know my thing. So that was, honestly, I felt like a space that people do want to get general dentistry because of where I'm at and where how it's quickly 90 to 120 people a day growing and moving to the city. So I felt like it's a waste. Why not, you know?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you're building a business model that is very specific. And look, I'm torn. I think one of the challenges in building an all-implant practice is that you're susceptible to ups and downs in the market, whereas with a general practice, you have the ability to stay much more steady throughout. Now, I think what I would suggest and what I talked about last night with you was, you know, to get your feet under you, make sure that what you're doing is consistent, and, you know, to get some of your debts paid down. And then maybe a year or two from now, consider restarting the general practice by bringing in somebody to where you'll be at a financial state to afford to hire an associate and to carry that person for 3 to 6 months or however long it takes to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, you know, one part of the other thing is that some people tell me that, yes, this is working right now for you, but you would be making a lot more if you had that general dentist to feed you that single unit and the implants where you could get these patients, because when they come in and the communication, the report you make with them. So that is another thing where people tell me, or some of my mentors are like, well, you could get feed off of the general side. And again, like you said, that comes with its own ultimate headaches and the hassle of managing all that inventory and the staff and the equipment and the supplies. Yeah, like I was asking Sully yesterday, I'm like, what type of matrix band you use? Because like there's so many things on the market, and I'm like, I hated my composites that I've been doing. I'm like, there's overhang. I feel like I need to fix that. And I've been buying stuff, and I'm looking at how much time it's taking me to do these class twos. And I'm like, it's a joke. Like, I could do a single unit implant in 5 minutes. And I'm spending 40 minutes trying to do MOD and put bands and then bond it and then shore fill and then flowable and then pack it and then take it off. And then it's just, dude, I'm like, this is too much. So I could see how it gets very frustrating over time if you just wanted to do the general dentistry side and you're focused on that and then doing outside other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that makes no sense to, in my mind, for you right now. Now, while we have you, let's take an advantage, okay? So if I'm a general dentist listening and I say, well, my God, you took a practice from scratch start and you're doing a decent number of implants already, let's learn from that. Let me selfishly learn from that. How can I learn from you in terms of what you've done to be able to increase the number of implants I'm doing? And what are you doing to get them?
So as far as marketing,
as far as marketing.
So getting on the social media right now, looking at Instagram or Facebook or forums, Dental Town, that was back when I used to go to the forums on Dental XP. I'm a member of so many organizations that I can't even think of. I pay almost $4,000 or $5,000, and I'm sure you do the same, or maybe you're already honorary member, but I have to pay. So it's the marketing, or the number doesn't come easy. I spend a lot of time reading these magazines and articles and things where what can I do? How is this, the communication with the patient, for example? Patient acceptance, that's another thing where I get it. My acceptance is very high when I sit down with the patient. I tell them this is how I make it, break it down simple, easy. And I don't know, honestly, there's not a one way or two that this is the way you do it. I feel like it's just the nature of what I'm always out there to do, to see what the people are doing.
But I want to be more focused on the marketing. Can you give me a step-by-step and what you're doing in the marketing? I mean, where are you acquiring the implant patients from?
Most of the marketing is spending on AdWords, Google AdWords, as I was telling yesterday most. So you have a series of words you put down. that you would think that patients are looking into putting when they get on Google. So like implant dentist or near me, I don't know, full mouth stuff, that hybrid or fixed denture or zirconia or things that you can think of. And you can also get help from, there are, I don't know, blogs, Moz blogs. I was a member of reading Moz. I don't know if you've heard of their forums. They are marketing people that they give you free stuff. So they have forums where you can read, kind of like Dental Town we have, but for marketers. So I get on that. And
what's the name of this place again?
It's Moz, M-O-Z. Moz blog. It's a blog where they kind of really give you so many ideas and things where one of the things I learned was the keyword searches. So when you get on Google and do keyword search, so like, because the Google is so big on algorithm on how the keywords and the how they can, in a millisecond, they can find you, or people want to get you very fast, is based on your score of your page. How is it rated? How easy is it for the algorithm or the robot? They call it a robot that goes and surfs the net. How are they going to find you? So the SEO, however, the SEO is a game. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, give me money to where I could improve your SEO. I don't believe in that. I like to read it myself and know. So when I talk to these people, marketers, because everybody, every day I get contacted by LinkedIn or Facebook, or everybody's like, oh, I can improve your thing on Google. And I like to know myself. So when I go to these blogs, Moz, and I could see what Google has, and they keep constantly changing it, like every 3 months or 6 months, and you can kind of be up to date. Just the same way as I'm looking at implant platform switch is a game right now. For example, Tapered Plus or BioHorizon. The marketers and Google does the same thing. Like, they come up with new technology, new algorithm, and those marketers are on top of their game. And they see it, and you can see it and learn from it. So when I saw those keyword searches, I tell my marketer, I'm like, hey, throw these words. Let's put, make it organic as much as possible. So like blogs, doing a lot of posting as far as like, whatever you do, if any case, like I said, people are afraid of posting their cases online. That's another thing that my marketing comes along. It's where I take pictures and photography very seriously. Over 13,000 photos right now I've taken from 2014 where I started working. Every, like I said, I have it all documented. So if I have a case, I'll post it on Instagram, and I get a lot of dentist followers who are from around the world. They ask, but that is, again, that's a completely different side. But if I wanted to, for example, if I wanted to teach implant dentistry, I would be big on knowing my demographics. My demographics are going to be on Instagram, Young Dentist, and LinkedIn probably, and start posting my articles and things through them so they can see. So, and get engaged with them, ask questions. So marketing, man, it's a beast. I mean, I love it. I love it.
So to kind of what I'm hearing from you on your practice side is that you're spending money on Google AdWords. You're writing blogs for your website to create organic search. And that, are you doing Facebook ads as well?
Yes, I do. Actually, Facebook, that's another thing. So Facebook ads, I do before afters on my patients. I do, I hire a videographer, the things that you're mentioning. So like, I have a videographer that I wanted to do a little bit more professional videos. So I have my patient before after testimonials where I sit down with them. I ask them, because a lot of patients are like, oh my God, thank you. When you do these things for them, they're very appreciative and grateful. So I ask them to come in the office. I get my videographer, we schedule them, and they do a nice testimonial. They talk, and I don't even want to be present. I have Jennifer, they kind of handle all of that for me, where they talk to the patient. We have a list of questions that we want to, because we want to raise awareness. You know, ultimately, is that how can we do these things? How can we help more people? Because the more we try to market ourselves, the less we are successful. If we can do it more organically, where we touch that emotional sense, bring that emotional dentistry out of these people. So I get people in and I ask them, talk about yourself. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about the dentist or the office first. I want you to talk about your life. How then, when that video comes out, the touching point that this patient is making, it gets so much more engagement than me trying to show my before after in one picture, for example. It's all about relative to how, and that's how Google does it. They want to be as realistic and emotional as possible, to where like Facebook ads are one, Instagram ads are another, and posting those stuff. And constantly, for example, like Prez are playing right now. So one of my marketing idea was like, oh, I had a patient and I asked him like, hey, you want to have a Pred tattoo? And he's like, no, I want a Jayhawk. And because he went to Jayhawk, I was like, no, I'm putting Pred on it. And I made a Pred tattoo. I made Matt Winston, the lab.
You're talking about on the crown.
Yeah, I put a Pred tattooed on the crown. I made a big post on Facebook. Like, go National Predators, we stand behind us, and made a nice post. And that got a lot of engagement and do a boost. You can boost it through people you want to, demographics and who you want to get, girls or followers or guys of what age and where they're from and what their interests are. And you're boosting them in a way that they can see that post. So then they know by clicking that on my page, they know that I'm not trying to market myself, my name, but at the same time, subconsciously, they're going to see that name there, and it keeps bringing it up and more. So there's a lot of different platform and funnels you can throw these ideas out there. Like I said, I'd love to have a social media director. Right now, 95% of all the marketing, like I said, I'm on top of it myself. Once I get busier, it's hard to manage. So I'd love to get somebody like an intern that I don't really have to pay much, where they doing this as a part of their internship for their undergrad or graduate marketing program. Because again, the social media, as you see how it's crazy growing so much faster than we can keep up with.
Okay, so how much are you okay, so just to kind of, because I see you're like me, you have ADD, you're all over the place a little bit. So
yeah.
So you're marketing, externally your marketing is, what I'm hearing to get implant patients is that, number one, you have the clinical skill set to do the implant cases, but you're focusing your advertising, your patient acquisition on Facebook ads, Google AdWords, organic blogs on your website, and then video testimonials that you're probably shooting out through social media channels. So what are you spending monthly? What is your budget for all of this?
I right now feel like about 7,000, at least 6,000-7,000 a month I'm paying
Okay, and how many implants are you getting per month from this, let's say?
So like, it's very hard to tell because right now, like last month I did 45 or so last month. However, it's hard to tell because a lot of these patients, they come in, however, I marketed already and I paid that budget, but they're not going to come because it's a full mouth. They're not going to do it that month or next month. They're going to wait another few months because they're going to go shop around. They're going to
that's called the residual value of it. But like right now, what is your immediate, you're doing, like you did 45 implants last month.
So last month I did 145 production. And I think my collection was 123. My marketing budget was almost around, like I said, $6,000 or $7,000 last month. The other part of it was me organic. It's not paid, but it's like me on Instagram or paid, like on Facebook. So like my personal page and my new smile page. So a lot of it is, you don't necessarily have to pay at Google or Facebook boosted. It's just you constantly be active on top of your page and adding people and inviting people to share ideas. So it's not just paying somebody for the marketing budget. So part of that was just me being active on social media and the funneling.
Okay. But you're saying you're doing 40 to 50 implants per month easily?
Right now, I feel the last month I did at affordable where I was averaging about 70, 75 on some months doing it. However, the prices over there, like I wasn't making any money other than the salary. It didn't matter how many I put, like 200 implants is still the same. So right now, I honestly haven't sat down to look back and see. The first 3 months, I was averaging only 25 implants. Last month, it started picking up because of the grand opening we had in April. So I'm not up on me. I don't know.
So what are you charging for your implant work right now?
So right now I am charging $2,195, almost $2,200 for the implants, abutment, and the crown.
Okay.
So I'm not. Yeah.
And then what if I want a lower overdenture? What's your typical fee for that?
So lower overdenture, the denture costs probably about $2,000 or $1,700 per set. I make them a package deal. It's almost $2,200. So let's set an example, 4 implants locator on the lower jaw, 4 times 1,300.
Okay, so that's about five grand or so.
$5,000 plus the denture, so about $7,000 for lower, $7,000 or so if they have any extraction.
And if I want a fixed hybrid?
My fixed starts around 15, 16, 17, and it goes up to like 19, 20, depending on the case. Like, because I have done right now about 250 arches of locator, about 45-50 arches of fixed. So to get a total, when I look at the patient right now coming in, I could see how much work is this going to take me. So I kind of price it where some of these fixed, if the patient wants fixed and they're full mouth, they got so much bone, they need grafting and things like that, that's not going to be 15 grand for me. It'll be a lot more. So if the patient comes in edentulous, less than the 4 or 6 implants, so that's going to be about 16,000-17,000. Typically, again, going to the either titanium bar with the acrylic overlay or doing some of those ceramic or zirconia, depending on the price. So just see the expectation of patients. So I have a lot of models in my office that you saw that I show patients, like, what do you want? And then the price just keeps going higher if they want the better material, of course.
Well, you know, here's what I would tell you, Pei. I would tell you that you're doing unbelievably well. I think you're a little bit unlinked from reality when you talk to most general dentists. I would tell you that most general dentists aren't doing 25, 40, 50 implants per month. Certainly some are. I would tell you that most general dentists haven't done 75 hybrids in their life. So, you know, I think those things are definitely where you're doing well. So, you know, the more I talk to you, the more I would say to continue down the path that you're on and to focus on what's working. You know, don't worry about, hey, I got an extra 400 to 500 square feet in my building. Don't focus on that. Focus on, hey, maybe you can keep that photo studio because it's helping you drive patients. Maybe you can, you know, create an office for a marketing person. You know, be nimble in what your market is driving you to do instead of trying to recreate or create something that maybe doesn't work for you. So
no, it does. It makes great sense, especially like talking to you. And like I said, it's been a great help. And just talking to you, I got a lot of ideas and things where I'd love to implement. And one of them was just the fact that you mentioned this whole thing about the spacing. Do not make a big deal out of it and do what you're doing right now that's working. Just stick to it instead of trying to do so many things and picking up so many eggs.
I'm going to make you a challenge real quick. I think one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to I want you to work with me on doing these Google or Facebook ads for my practice to see if I can get the same results that you're getting.
Right, absolutely. Do you have a marketing team that you work with right now?
No, I don't.
Because you're gonna need more than you can't, like, I need everything that I said. I also need them to implement it for me. So you need a good marketing team to kind of do all that keyword searches and things for you, because they make it a lot easier than you trying to do it yourself, because it takes a long time.
Can't we just recreate what you did?
Yeah, but at the same time, I did pay. I'm also paying my marketing team. Well, I'll pay them already for the whole year, but they are managing the websites and doing the WordPress, and like, if there's any changes, they're making all of that for me.
Okay, so you just need somebody to do the execution. That's fair enough. That's easy enough.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to hold you to that, and I want to see the results. Honestly, I haven't spent any money on social media or web marketing at all. And listen, I'd like to place another 20 implants per month. So
sure.
if that costs me $5,000 to do, I'm ready and willing to do it.
Absolutely.
So
I would love to talk to you about it. We can sit down and we can kind of look at what you have, like, in the, because one thing is getting them in the door. Next thing is how you impress them and getting in closing them. And then part of the reason that I did so many implants, as you see, the number, the price that I charge is ridiculously lower than other people. $2,200 for tapered laser lock implants, BioHorizon, authentic parts and everything. Right now, average is about $3,500 in Nashville. So I am charging less to get more people. So not necessarily it's they're coming, the price at the end of the day, and they're looking at it. So I have a lot of ideas and things that we could definitely talk and sit down, see which one you're more open to do and implement in your practice.
Yeah, no, I think, and then, you know, certainly I don't think we're going to suffer from the from people experience here. That won't be the issue. And I'm open to trying things at different prices as well. So I'm not overly worried about that part either. So we'll see. Well, Payman, I want you to go see your patient.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.